What are the best movies of 2023? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and happy new year. And welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, top tens. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. Hi, Roxy.
Hi, DJ, and a happy new year.
Happy new year. As always, if you want to watch this show live, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. We also have extra content like Spider-Versity, what we're into, all that stuff. You probably got to listen to this early if you're over on the Patreon. If you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. And normally we ask ourselves a question, but we're pre-recording this because of the holidays. So since this episode is dropping on, literally, I think on New Year's Day, Roxy, do you have a New Year's resolution?
I do, DJ. My New Year's resolution is that I really want to complain less. I think it's really unhelpful, and I find myself spiraling when I do it, and it doesn't make me feel better, and it doesn't make anybody around me feel more comfortable, and I want to really work on... Usually my resolutions are like in the pro, not do something less, it's do something more, so I got to figure out the exact terminology of it.
Yeah.
Like be positive, but that's not exactly what it is, but just bitch less.
You know what I like about that is it's a very, and I feel like we might have discussed in the past, it's a very manageable goal. Like I understand how, you know, it's important to you, but it's also not like world peace. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's something like it's very, there's steps that you could take to accomplish that goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm working on implementing some of them and really trying to rewire my brain so that when something happens, I start to go down that path, I can stop it and have a different thought.
Yeah. And I think for me, I need to think about that more because I think that's something I could learn from. Because for me, we talked a little bit about this before we got on air. A lot of my goals for this year, because I don't really think in the terms of revolution so much as goals, are the same as last year. Because the problem with my goals are it is stuff that's kind of out of my control. And so let's say you want to do a crowdfunding campaign for a movie and then a strike happens and you can't. Now my goal's offset because it's kind of out of my hands.
Like an intention. You're like, this is what I'm intending on doing. We'll see.
Speaking of gunplaymovie.com, check out that Kickstarter promotion for that. It's going to be starting up very soon as of this episode. So stay tuned for that. So I need to think about more personal goals for myself because this year's been challenging. This has been, as I was thinking about this year, it's not been as like overt as I would say as the pandemic was, but it's like, hey, this was a tough one.
Our entire industry was on strike for half of the year and there are multiple wars going on around the world.
Yeah.
So if you felt like this year was not a tough one, you were an untouchable in a situation that I can't relate to. Like this was a really, really challenging year for everybody that I know. I mean, I guess the billionaires might have not had the same reality that we did, but it was really, really hard. I agree with you on that. Maybe we can do an episode this year, checking in on our resolutions and kind of like goal orienting and whatnot.
That's a good idea. I like that idea. I like that idea. Here's hoping and again, this is not a resolution because it's something entirely out of my control. But hopefully things will be a little less dicey in 2024.
Yeah, I think. That's a nice hope.
Listen, we can all hope. So this episode, last week we did our top 10 TV, which is where Roxy is queen. Now we do movies where I rule. No.
You do. No, seriously, DJ, because I saw mostly like big box office movies this year.
Yeah.
And I have missed so many of the Golden Globe nominated movies that hopefully, this is me speaking in the future. Hopefully, I watched over the holidays. Mm-hmm. But there's so many movies now. It's not like when we were growing up. There's just so many mother effing movies.
Well, especially if you're supposed to talk about it like professionally, there's almost this sense of obligation. I'm going to get to, in the Discord, people had an interesting conversation about how many movies they saw. And this pales in comparison to Roxy's TV hit list, especially since they're movies and not entire shows. According to my, I've been keeping track this year on the app Letterboxd. By the way, I've been branching out. If you want to find me on Letterboxd, DJ Talks Trash. If you want to find me, I think it's DJ Talks Trash on Letterboxd. And if you want to find me on TikTok, been playing around with that. Go say hi. So according to Letterboxd, I have seen 56 movies that released, of the movies that released this year, I have seen 56 of them. I've watched more movies than that, but of the ones that released in 2023, I've watched 56. So if you want to know...
Isn't that annoying? You can only count, like, I know, DJ, you binge the Hunger Games movies, but you can only count the one that came out in 2023.
2023.
That's me with TV. I only count the ones that came out that year.
Wait, and you watched...
I've watched Friends 12 times.
You watched 100 plus shows that came out this year?
Yeah. I've watched way more than that. That's the new shows.
That's I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around it. But anyway, point is, if you want to see all the, and I ranked all of them. So if you want to see all the movies I saw this year, find me on Letterboxd. But these are going to be the top 10 as of right now, as Roxy mentioned. There's some movies she wants to see. There's some stuff that I haven't seen yet. So this is as of this recording of the stuff we've seen. And as we mentioned in the top TV top 10 for DJ, for my list, this is stuff. These were my favorites. So if you're like, spoiler alerts, Killers of the Flower Moon isn't in my top 10. You're like, whoa, DJ, you're saying this movie is better than Killers of the Flower Moon? Not saying it's better. I'm saying I liked it more. And I'm sorry, as good as Killers of the Flower Moon is good. No 3-hour and 30-minute movie is ever going to be in my top 10. Somebody tell Martin Scorsese that miniseries exist. It's good. And I understand why it's so long. But like, cut it out. fucking cut it out. That's my parameters. For me, it's going to be 10 on up. Roxy, is it going to be like TV for you, where it's just kind of how you feel it?
My top five are my top five. The other ones, I think maybe likely a lot of them will get bumped, but they're just the ones that I liked. Yeah.
Yeah. That you've seen so far. Okay. So diving on in, I'll start us off with TMNT Mutant Mayhem. DJ, are you saying TMNT Mutant Mayhem is better than Killers of the Flower Moon? Yes, I am saying that. No, I am a big Ninja Turtles fan, and I thought this movie did such a good job of not only capturing the spirit of that franchise, but also doing it a different way, because this is the one they really spent time to be like, yeah, they're called teenagers. What if they actually acted like actual teenagers? It's animated beautifully. I think the story, to put it broadly, about like acceptance and stuff like that, is really well told. I think it's very funny. This is my 10th favorite movie of the year.
Currently on the bottom of my list, just because I liked it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Totally.
I really like the Guardians movies in general. I thought that this one, I really like Rocket. This has been a great trilogy for me, and kind of a great send-off in some ways. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, totally. So next up on me, you know what's funny, Roxy? You were talking about blockbusters. I was surprised looking at my top 10s, like, hey, you know what? I am kind of a blockbuster boy, I guess. This isn't necessarily the most... artistic list, but these are movies that I genuinely love this year. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. I feel like more blockbusters should pay attention to the way this movie was made. It's fun. I loved every character in it. I felt like every time it entered a new scenario or situation, you really felt the creators go like, okay, what's the coolest thing we can do with this premise?
Yes.
And it's
so much fun with this movie. It was a blast.
Yeah. And it's such a good instinct. It's like, yeah, just don't throw anything away. Whatever bit you're doing, whatever set piece you're doing, what's the best way to do that? And you know what I mean? If that felt like the thought process here. And I just thought the cast, and this was one I was going in with very low expectations. The trailer did not move the needle for me. And I ended up really loving this movie.
My next one on my list is probably the movie that made me genuinely laugh out loud the most this year. I saw it in a fully packed theater.
Yeah.
And that's Joyride. Oh, gosh. I just thought that these girls were so funny. And everything, it kind of reminded me sometimes of Family Guy humor,
yeah,
where they just like kept repeating the bit and then it got funnier every time to me. And I had no expectations going into this. I haven't seen a movie like this fully. It's not that it reinvented the wheel as much as like to have four Asian leads be just knock you out funny,
yeah,
is unique. And then the movie, the script, the premise was actually really good. And Lover of Love, Shipper of Ships. And I also love friendship movies.
Yeah. So I have not seen this one. So I don't know the context of this. But Mike Joy says the sex montage was hilarious.
It was hilarious. I mean, it is so over the top vulgar. But this whole movie, I mean, it's rated R. And this is like a hard R.
Yeah.
It is vulgar.
Yeah.
And ballsy. And I just like seriously was crying. I was laughing so hard during this. And it takes a lot for a movie to do that.
Totally. So next one for me, this is something I mentioned for What We're Into. You're like, what's What We're Into? It's our Patreon exclusive show, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Godzilla Minus One. Once again, big Godzilla fan as a kid. And this movie is incredible. It takes place post-World War II. It follows a failed kamikaze pilot. Because if he hadn't failed, he would be dead. Failed kamikaze pilot, as he and kind of a makeshift family try to put things back together right after World War II. And here comes a Godzilla. But this is a shockingly emotional movie. It evokes stuff like Jaws and Jurassic Park. In a lot of ways, it feels very Spielbergian. And I think it's great between this and Shin Godzilla. You know, it's... as the American films like Godzilla, X Kong, whatever movie's coming out, have gone like the big, bold Godzilla's fighting other monster stuff, it's cool to see Japan be like, okay, so we're going to go back to Godzilla's roots and use Godzilla as a metaphor to unpack our own shit, some of our national trauma that we need to deal with, and use Godzilla in that function. It's really cool. And it's one of those like Godzilla movies can feel disposable, and this one does not. It feels very meaningful, and I just can't recommend it enough. It's really good.
It's on most people's top 10. I haven't seen it yet, but this movie is like clearly making waves. I really, really want to check it out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The next one on my list is a movie that I don't know anybody else who watched it, and I keep telling people to watch it. It is perfect for streaming. I think it's wildly enjoyable, but also makes you think. It's Fingernails on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
This movie, the premise is there's a new technology that is kind of controversial in this world, but they pull a fingernail of yours with the person that you're with, and they see if you guys are truly in love. There's a technology that can, based on your fingernails, tell if you guys are in love or not. And it is a sci-fi rom-drom. And that is so up my alley, because you're watching these people really go through it and try to figure out like, okay, but if that's what technology is saying, but not how I'm feeling, what do I do? Or am I not feeling that way because of that? Am I fighting against that? And it's also got two of my favorite actors, Jeremy Allen White, obviously, I spoke about the Bear in our previous episode, and Riz Ahmed, who I've been following for years and incredible. Just think he's an absolute star. Also stars Luke Wilson and the main girl, Jessie Buckley, who I didn't know, she's excellent as well. So it's a really, really small movie that had a lot of heart and questioning.
It's interesting. That's an Apple TV Plus joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting the decisions they've made about that. It feels like of the streaming services, they feel the most confident about the tone they're going for with their product.
Totally. This is such an Apple. Like if I had watched this and I didn't know where it was, I would have said, oh, that's on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah. So next one, and this is where this is a good opportunity for us because this is one that we didn't get a chance to talk about due to the strikes. Next one on my list is Barbie. I thought this movie, I just rewatched it. My wife and I bought it on Blu-ray. So I just rewatched it recently, and it's just one of those, it's just so smart and it's so funny. We didn't get a chance to talk about it in what we're into, but I went and saw the new Emma Stone movie by Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things. And it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was a lot longer than I anticipated, and it's good. But when I was trying to articulate why that movie didn't quite click with me, I realized like, oh, because Barbie covers all of the same thematic material shorter, in a shorter amount of time, and funnier. And I think a little bit more insightful. You know what I mean? It's the same themes, but it does it. It explores it so well. I am really blown away because as much as the movie's steeped in feminism, it shows a lot of empathy towards Ken, who is theoretically the antagonist of the movie. And I think that's something you don't get a lot in media. It's a very empathetic film in a way that I found very refreshing. And it's hard not to relate to everybody in the movie. Like when Barbie's going through an existential crisis, who isn't in 2023? When they're like, every day for Barbie's perfect. Ken only has good days when Barbie pays attention to him. It's like, yeah, that's relatable. I get that. I immediately understand Ken. You know what I mean? And Greta Gerwig's directions, great. I just think it's a great comedy. And then beneath that, the stuff that it talks about, I think, is explored in a surprisingly insightful way for a movie based off of a doll.
Yeah, so I'll just skip ahead. This is definitely my number one movie of the year by far and away. I love Barbie. It is. I have loved Greta Gerwig for a long time. She wrote a movie called Frances Ha, which I definitely recommend. It's directed by Noah Baumbach. And they are just like, the two of them are just goals to me.
Yeah.
It's a black and white movie that was interesting. I loved Lady Bird. I thought she did an unbelievable job with Little Women. And then watching what she did with Barbie, the movie could have been absolutely crap.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been just the absolute worst.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was, like, I was watching it and I felt the inner girl in me just screaming, like, for so many different reasons. I think it was smart. It was relatable. It was entertaining. It was funny. You also know about my Simu Liu obsession forever. So that didn't hurt. I also completely think that this is the best that Kate McKinnon has been in a role in a long time.
It's great.
Issa Rae absolutely knocks it out of the park. Haven't even mentioned Margot Robbie, who is a true effing star.
Yes.
All of the Barbies were... just so good. It was the most everything for me this year. The funniest, the most entertaining, the most poignant, the most heartfelt, the one that I connected to the most. It was across the board, every single thing for me.
Yeah, it's just a really, again, I remember seeing it in theaters, like, wow, I really like that. And then you think about it, you're like, well, these elements work. And then rewatching, it's like, yeah, man, it just does. It's just really, like, I think one of my few nitpicks would be, you can kind of feel, it feels like the movie wants to dig into Mattel more. And the big wigs are like, no, you can't. You got to be nice to Mattel. But even then, that feels like, that's the themes of the movie. Like when America Ferrera is basically like, you're expected to be this thing, but you have to be this thing. But it's like, so it's like that actually, that's baked into the premise of the movie. That struggle of like, what are we even trying to be here? That's it. That's what this movie's about.
I didn't even mention her. She's so good in this.
Yeah.
So good in this. Yeah. Excellent job.
Yeah.
Love Barbie.
Good job all around. And yeah, just really, and yeah, I know there's going to be a sequel. I know there's word of like, a Ken spinoff, and it's like, yeah, I'd watch that. If Greta Goodwork comes back, I'll watch that shit.
I haven't even mentioned the music, which was out of this world. And when you talk about Ken, like all the sweatshirts, I'm Kenuff,
yep.
And I'm just Ken. Like it's just, it's like Barbie was a movement this year.
Yeah.
Seeing every girl and every guy and every kid dress in all pink to go to the effing Barbie movie, especially during the Oppenheimer time,
yep.
Was like just really, really cool. Oh, I didn't put that on my list. It might have made me. Well, anyway.
Anyway, listen. Roxy had to put, I kind of sprung this last minute on her. She had to put her list together last minute.
But subject to change, we'll see. But these are all movies that I liked.
Exactly.
Or Barbie that I loved.
Yeah, Barbie is real. Was genuine. Like, I don't know, the surprise is the right word, but like really, like, just nailed it. And again, just kind of like what I was saying with D&D, and this is true of Godzilla Minus One. It's like, I hope blockbusters pay more attention to these movies, because these are all blockbusters, you know, in one way or another. They just do it real good. They just like, it doesn't feel like factory settings. It feels like people with actual things to say that are using the medium to say it. Actually, all of the ones on my list so far have been that. TMNT, Dungeons & Dragons, Godzilla, and Barbie. Here's one, everybody. Here's a not blockbuster franchise film. May, December. This is another one that kind of surprised me that it snuck so much up on my list. But after seeing it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I was impressed by how it engaged with its material. It is not, the subject matter is not fun. It's loosely inspired by a true story about a grown woman that I think was my age, and the time when I was supposed to be my age, that slept with a 13-year-old boy and got pregnant. And then after she did prison time, they created a family. And so now fast forward 20 plus years later, and they're about ready to become empty nesters. And now the guy is the same age the woman was when they started their relationship. Played by, what is it, Chris Melton?
DJ, the only thing that I will say to you is that she got pregnant. She did a year in prison. She then got pregnant again and went back to prison for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Two pregnancy stints in prison.
Charles Martin is the actor. Yeah, but anyway, it's funnier than you expect. Although I do think people were like, it's a comedy. It's like, maybe if you were in a theater, it played like a comedy. When I was watching at home, it sure didn't feel like a comedy.
I don't know if people said that, but the Golden Globes nominated for Best Comedy, which is Best Comedy or Musical.
Yeah, which, you know, whatever. But the performances, Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman and Charles Melton has lines. You've seen this now, right, Roxy? We talked about it briefly before.
Yeah.
There's a moment where Charles Melton's talking to Natalie Portman, and he's just talking. He's like, you know, I wanted it. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to like play it down, and it, something about his delivery just broke me. Like, it just really cut right through me. And I just think it's just a really meaningful movie, because it's not only just talking about something, subject matter that we don't really discuss or we save for like the tabloids, but also kind of gets into, similar to when I was talking about TV shows with Barry, Barry was talking about how our media deals with violence. This is talking about how our media deals with these subject matters. Because I don't want to spoil the ending, but when you see Natalie Portman is following Julianne Moore's character because she's going to betray her in a movie. And when you see the movie they're filming, you're like, all that for oh my God, all that for this?
Yeah, the snake.
Oh my God.
That's awesome. I thought this movie was good. I think that it is not like Oscar buzzworthy caliber, but it's high up on your list, and I respect that. The performances are great. It does deal with all the things that you talked about. I think because I don't think I watched this in the best manner, because it had just been nominated for a Globe. Everybody was hyping this up, and then I watched it, and it felt kind of small.
Mm.
And maybe that was the point. Yeah. You know, like, what is this going to be, a big, massive? And I love all of the performance. You know, I've been a big Riverdale fan for a long time, and I think that Charles Melton is a stud and a star. I think he does a lot with his eyes.
Yeah.
And you feel for him. Like, you desperately feel for him.
Yeah.
But you feel worse for his kids. I mean, the whole thing. Yeah, it's good. I thought that it did a solid job.
And one of the things I liked about it most is, you know, because Natalie Portman, because she's trying to get into Julianne Moore's head, is talking to other family members. And it's interesting how everybody is finding their own way to paper over what happened. And nobody's really just like, no, but you all realize how fucked up this all is, right? Like, can we all take a second and take stock in it? There's also a moment where Natalie Portman's character is looking at casting videos for who will play young Charles Melton. And it's such an effective, without being salacious, it's such an effective job of like, yeah, just know how messed up this all is. Every aspect of it, how messed up all of it is.
Totally.
What's your next one, Roxy?
On my list is Across the Spider-Verse. This movie's great. It's what a great number two. Cannot wait for number three. I know there's a lot of controversy around this movie as well, because treat your people well.
Yeah.
But the end result, the product was unbelievable to me. Do I think it was as good as the first one? Maybe not, but yeah, maybe, honestly, because it's just so visually, it's the best movie of the year.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual story, I think that all the way they do the characters is so cool. Just love this movie.
This one, I love Across the Spider-Verse. It didn't quite crack my top 10. As I spent more time with it, there's aspects of it that I think are me specific, that kind of like, I don't love the idea of canon events. I think it's kind of a silly concept. And I think some of the plotting is a little sloppy, as opposed to something like Into the Spider-Verse that was just, ooh, tight. So for me, it got bumped. I think it's number 12 on my Letterboxd. It's right up there, but it did get bumped out of the top 10. But it's still an excellent movie, and we'll see when we get part three.
yeah, totally.
Take your time. Listen, take your time. Like Roxy said, treat your people right. So my next one, I cheated a little bit in that this is a collection of short films. It is The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. That's the one short I'm picking, but it is reflective of all those shorts, the Roald Dahl shorts that Wes Anderson dropped on Netflix. I was a little disappointed with Asteroid City. I think it's good. Some people out there are like, it's awful. It's not awful. It's good. It's just not the best Wes Anderson movie. That said, Henry Sugar and the associated shorts that he adapted from Roald Dahl that were all dropped on Netflix at the same time are like excellent, like are so good. I've seen some people say like, well, shouldn't it be considered like a series? And they're labeled as short films. I'm going to consider them films, and they needed to be on one of my lists because it is Wes Anderson experimenting with his form a little bit and experimenting with adaptation to the point where like characters will read segments of the book to the camera. And there's a playfulness to them.
Is it eligible to be nominated for, DJ?
That's a great question. I don't even know. It's such a weird, I think they did festival stuff prior to being on Netflix. I honestly have no idea. For my list, together they make a movie that I saw and that I loved. And they start like, it's just, they're really good. I don't want to spend a lot of time describing them. Just go see them. I think each one's like 20 minutes. Yeah, they're all on Netflix. Let me see if I can find all the names of all the shorts, because I don't think they're like put together weirdly. This is one of those situations where it's like, you know, Netflix, you can dial this in again a little bit better. The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. They're just really playfully put together. Some of I would say some of Anderson's best stuff. Oh, we're getting there, everybody. They are in here with
Mike Joyce said, I think it made the Oscars shortlist for short film.
Great. And there's a bunch of them. So for me, they're a movie. Here's the ones I'm including: The Swan, The Rat Catcher, and Poison. So all of these were directed by Wes Anderson. They all share the same group of actors, and they were all released at the same time. So for me, I'm treating it as if I sat down and watched an anthology movie. They're all based off Roald Dahl's works. And I think they're excellent. And I think like the longest one is like 20 minutes. So it's really not going to take a lot of your time. And I highly recommend them.
Cool. Okay. Next on my list, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Oh, I've heard great things about this.
This is excellent. I loved this movie. I think that kind of like what I was talking about with Greta Gerwig, I feel very similarly with Kelly Fremont Craig. I've been following her career since Edge of 17, which I thought was unbelievable. She nailed it for this as well. This book I read as a little girl, it meant a lot to me. It is a true coming of age story. And we don't get that many of those as little girls, you know, like it's about becoming a woman, getting your period, learning to how to navigate your place in the world. It's also a mixed girl. She's part Jewish, part Christian, dealing with family issues. And she is the actress Abby Ryder Fortson. She was excellent. Rachel McAdams is so good in this. Yeah. It was the perfect adaptation for a book that just meant a lot. And I was so happy to see that they nailed it. Just really good job.
Really good things about it. So the next one on my list, briefly mentioned before, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan's new film starring Killing Murphy about Oppenheimer. People have said a lot about it. We didn't get a chance to talk about it on this show. It's just real good. I do think it's a little longer than it needs to be. That's a common critique from me. But yeah. I do think it's some of Nolan's best work in a very long time. I do think it's a meaningful movie. And I'm a huge fan of Killian Murphy as an actor. If you've ever seen Peaky Blinders, you know he's a cool motherfucker. And so this is number four on my list.
Yeah, probably is somewhere on my list. We had a really shitty viewing experience of this, DJ.
Yeah.
The projector broke in 30 minutes and something, whatever. I need to watch it again, but it was very good. But it didn't make this version of this list. My next movie on the list for me is You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah.
Cool.
Also kind of similar to what you talk about where sometimes you're just doing your favorite movies. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that this is better than Killers of the Flower Moon, but this movie was perfect for what it was. You don't get to see a lot of Jewish stories in movies. We see more Jewish characters. There's not many bat mitzvah movies. Yeah. It's why I'm making a whole Hanukkah movie, because there are fucking none. Mm-hmm. And it was cool to see not only Adam Sandler kind of champion this, but also have his kids in it. They were both two little stars. Idina Menzel, I love. What do we call her? Adele Dazeem. So good. And it did a great job of embodying girls that age, which is awkward and weird, and also the bat mitzvah scene, which is you're being told you're becoming a woman, but you're fucking 13. So what does that really mean? It's funny. It's poignant. It was clever. I liked it a lot.
I love this little renaissance Adam Sandler's doing, because this is another one I heard good things about. Does Idina Menzel play his wife in it?
Uh-huh.
She plays his wife in Uncut Gems too. That's it. You must like working with her. That's great. I like that. Cool. Yeah, I heard good things about it. I didn't get a chance to see it, but I do love that Adam Sandler right now is in a period where he's getting some love, and I think that's really cool. So this one we did a whole episode on, so I'm not going to belabor the point. But yeah, John Wick 4 is my third favorite movie this year. I think this is the best of the franchise. I love these movies. I think they take the basic premise of badass that's good at killing people better than everybody else and elevate it to something really special. And I think this takes it to its natural conclusion. No, I do not want a chapter 4. I think this is the perfect end of the franchise. Go out while you're on top.
It was so good. It was so good.
It's just real good. It's real good.
Okay. The next one that I did, I don't know if it counts fully for 2022. I think it does, because you know how sometimes it's like festivals in 2022, but it was released in 2023. So it was released here in the United States in 2023. So I put it on my list.
I have one of those on my list too.
It's a movie I told you all about, DJ. I think you went and watched it after I said it. Sisu, did you end up going to watch
it? Oh, yeah. I saw it before you saw it.
Oh, you told me about it?
No, I don't think I told you about it, but I had seen it before you'd seen it.
I love Sisu. I thought Sisu was so great. It's a new take on a World War II movie. Mm-hmm. That's saying a lot, doing a new take on a subject matter that has been covered left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And it was almost all silent and just... I loved John Wick.
Yeah.
I love John Wick. This is like John Wick to me, where it's like...
Yeah.
Just a man seeking revenge because he has been motherfucking wronged. Mm-hmm. And I think that they did it in the coolest way possible. I wanted to put it on my list also because not enough people saw this movie. Yeah. And it is so good.
It's got to be streaming now. Go check it out. This is one we talked about in What We're Into. My second favorite movie of the year is Dream Scenario. It's a new Nicolas Cage film where he plays a college professor that just randomly starts showing up in people's dreams. And it makes him a minor celebrity, and he plays possibly the most awkward person on the planet. So he doesn't handle the celebrity great. And then eventually the dreams start not going so great for people. And he starts getting blamed for that, even though it's not him. He's not doing anything. It's just people are dreaming about him outside of his control. And I think it does a great job exploring celebrity culture. I think this is another great performance from Nicolas Cage. I think it is funny. I think it is poignant. I was really touched by it and entertained by it. And it is fantastic.
Okay, next on my list is Air.
Yeah.
Saw Air, loved Air. Boston Girl, of course I love this. Love basketball, love shoes. It was, I thought, really smartly done, not having Michael Jordan there, but just really focusing on the actual shoes, the creation. I love seeing how the sausage is made. And Matt and Ben, just, I couldn't have had a better time watching this movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, those Boston boys, they love each other.
Boston boys.
I was going to make a joke about them smooching in the movie. They don't. But I was, you know.
I wish.
Someday, one of these days. Wait, don't they smooch in The Duel? Anyway, doesn't matter.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. The Duel? Oh, it was good. It's good. You know, Ridley Scott, Napoleon was good too. That didn't make it on my list. It was just good. All right. Speaking of movies that apparently did their festival runs in 2022, but had their actual theatrical release in 2023. My favorite movie of the year is How to Blow Up a Pipeline. Well, a lot of people, when they say, like, this is the most important movie of the year, normally those movies are a real bummer. Not that this movie doesn't have aspects of it that are a bummer. It is dealing with the climate crisis, which is a bummer, and it is a current and ongoing and upcoming bummer. But it follows a group of people. It is based off of a nonfiction book about how to blow up a pipeline. And so in a lot of ways, this movie plays like a really good heist thriller.
It's and scripted though, DJ?
This movie is scripted, and it follows a group of people that are blowing up a stretch of a Texas oil line to basically bring the oil industry to its knees. And it has a lot of discussion about the consequences of this and why, and the pros and cons of this and what brings these people to do this. There's a lot of like real world ramifications and realities to this conversation. But this is also all the elements that would make a really good heist movie. And y'all know I love a good heist movie. So those two things combined about things that I think most of us, but also me, are very worried about and should be worried about. And it's very timely in that way. But it's also a really entertaining, gripping movie. And so those things combined made this my favorite movie of the year.
I haven't seen this, DJ, and I have to check it out because I saw you tweeting about it as well. I got to get on this one.
I think it's on Hulu.
I already discussed my favorite of the year being Barbie, but my second favorite movie of the year is a movie that, once again, every year there's one of these animated movies that sneaks into my top couple. It's Elemental. DJ made me go see this because lover of love, shipper ships. This movie is the way that I loved Inside Out slightly more than this, but it's like Inside Out in the sense that like we get what they're going for, what they're actually saying, even though it's not people and their elements and whatever it is, all of the connections to the real world and lover, love, shipper, ship stuff. And just how we treat mixed people and just family dynamics and everything. I loved Elemental. I thought that it was awesome. And if DJ hadn't said anything to me, I probably never would have seen it. This what went right by me.
Dude, this was a sleeper of the year. It was one that everybody was like, it's a box office bomb. But then as the year went on, more and more people saw it. Obviously, as also a big fan of Inside Out. And even though you're not the only one, like I would can make that comparison as well, even though like plot-wise, it's not really. But like vibes, you know what I mean? Like vibes and look and everything. But if somebody is somebody in a mixed relationship, it's like, yeah, you get it. Yep, this is what it's like. Totally Elemental. I'm glad you loved it. It is rare for an animated one to crack the top 10 for Roxy. That's really cool.
So every year there's something like Descanso cracked it. Remember Marcel the Shell was my number one, which I don't know if I would call that. I mean, it is animated.
It got nominated for animated, but yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
I know. But this one's so good.
Especially since Marcel is real and you can't tell us otherwise.
No, he's a real shell and I have him in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm. So those were our top 10s. In the Discord, I asked you all your top 10s. Leonard Kim said Fast X, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Elemental, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. That was also very good. That was in my top 10 for a long stretch. Barbie, Extraction 2, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, Wish, Wish? Really? Wish? Anyway, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Threes, and Honor Among Thieves, excuse me, Gran Turismo, Mike Joyce said Across the Spider-Verse, When Evil Lurks, a very scary movie, The Holdovers, a lot of people said The Holdovers, I need to check that one out, Air, BlackBerry, Oppenheimer, Dungeons & Dragons, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, Godzilla Minus One, Bottoms, Maggie said Theater Camp, I don't even know that one, Barbie.
Oh, Theater Camp was so good.
Is it a scripted? Is it a fun? Is it a what?
Yeah,
is it?
Funny, okay. Scripted. Yeah.
Barbie, Strange Way of Life, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Saltburn, Hunger Games, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, Joyride, Bottoms, Elemental, A Haunting in Venice. Posh says Godzilla Minus One, American Fiction. I need to check that one out. The Holdovers, Across the Spider-Verse, Past Lives. I need to check that one out. Sisu, BlackBerry. I need to check that one out. Barbenheimer. Little cheat there. Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, and Bottoms. And they had a conversation in the Discord about, like, Mike Joyce asked, how many 2023 movies have each of you seen this year? Jake Hefner said only four 2023 movies, but 52 overall. Leonard Kim watched 73. Maggie said 27 new releases. And according to Letterboxd, I'm at 169 movies watched this year.
How many of you guys have Always Lola as one of those movies that you watch? Go check it out. Thank you to 2023.
There's a link in the description if you want to check out Always Lola. It's on all the different platforms for rent, right? Renting?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can rent it on all those platforms.
$4.99 to rent.
And if you want to help finance your favorite movie of 2024, you can head on over to gunplaymovie.com. More on that coming very soon as of this episode when it drops. But if you want to be the first to know about everything, go to gunplaymovie.com. But Roxy, where can the people find you and what you're up to?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. If you want to see me struggle making TikToks, you can do that over at TikTok and every other platform where DJ Talks Trashes are sold. But if you want to listen to this, follow the show, you can do that at Only Stupid Answers. But on Twitter,
yank out the vowels from stupid. Do we give up calling it X?
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I'm just rolling with it right now. Yep. X Twitter, you know where to find it.
Saw this week that they just cleared most people's timelines.
Oh, cool. That might be helpful for some people. I've been meaning to go, you know, let's clean out some of the backlogs. So wild. Listen, it's been a year, everybody. I hope by and large it was a good one for you all. Here's to the new year. Here's to new opportunities. I want to thank you all for listening to this show. We really appreciate it. All of our patrons, we could not do this show without you. Like, literally, we could not. And I want to thank Roxy for another year of doing this show with me.
You too, DJ.
And here's to a lovely and chill, hopefully chill, 2024. And we will see you all next time. Bye, everybody.